It doesn't bother him that primetime sports isn't called the Bob McCowan Show. Because
Bob
if
McCowan
you
on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Good news today. We're not on television until 5:30, so Barker, you and I can take our pants off now.
Or put them back on, one of the two.
No, no, you have them on if you were doing the, if you're on TV. If you're just doing radio, you can do anything.
All right.
You ever done a show without your pants on?
No, I'm not where you're at yet. Okay, I can't do that.
That's Kevin Barker. You can recognize him by his good old boy accent.
How? I don't sound just like everybody else?
No.
Oh.
Cut the grass in your front lawn. See if you can find a car. John Morosi of the MLB Network and Fox Sports will join us later on. Why is everybody works for multiple companies now? Nobody just works for one company.
Make more money that way.
Yeah, but you do work twice as hard.
You do commercials, right? Why do you do them?
No, I don't do commercials.
Oh, I know there's a commercial you do right before this show comes on.
Oh, well, that's not really a commercial. That's it's called a bumper. Or a tag.
Yeah,
it's like this show brought to you by.
I'm going to ask a stupid question. Did you get paid for it?
Not yet.
Oh. Yeah.
But I expect to.
There you go.
I say I haven't been paid yet. I don't even know. I don't do any of that stuff. I just look at the bank account and then my wife takes it. Which is pretty much, I think, how your life goes, too, pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got no issues with that.
Good for you. Sid Rosenberg, who stiffed us yesterday from WABC, stiffed us. Yeah. DNS'd.
That's terrible.
Did not show.
He doesn't like you?
I don't know what happened. Didn't answer his phone or something.
Or he doesn't like As a Party.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't like As a Party.
Yeah.
Where's Pelly today? Pelly stiffed us yesterday, too. I can't hear you. He's in Geneva, really?
Mm.
Was he counting his money?
There's no excuse. He should have came on with you.
Counting and folding. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,000, 6, 7, 8. Try and make time next week. Let's see if we can squeeze him in. How about Thursday when I'm not here? Yeah, give me a hug. I'll give him a hug. Dwight Stone's 2-time Olympic medalist will join us later in the program. He's now an analyst for ESPN. That's what all ex-athletes do.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No. Well, nobody accused you of being an athlete.
Well, that's why I said I don't know anything about that.
Shai Davidi will be with us. Ben Volen of the Boston Globe and Maury Brown of Forbes magazine. Now, what are all these notes you have here? What is all this show prep you've done?
I am on another show that has to talk about baseball a lot.
Are you?
Is it on this station or some other station? I would bring it up, but you never listen to it, as you told me numerous times.
Why would I listen to it?
Well, because you might learn something.
I doubt it. I have you in here once a month or so.
Do you learn anything every couple of weeks?
Not from you, but
No.
I'm a talker, not a listener, as you may have gathered.
Sure, yeah. I've gotten that.
Pardon? Morosi will join us in a bit. So you got all kinds of notes, but you don't have anything on them.
No, I have a lot of stuff on them. It's all about who may get traded and who not going to get traded.
Oh, speaking of traded.
All these things.
Are you a Twitter guy?
No.
No. You don't even have an account?
No.
No. See, I should cancel mine.
Why do you have it?
Because I feel sorry for the the idiots, and I mean complete and utter morons who follow me. Because they are dumber than posts, the vast majority of them. Like a stick in the ground has got more brains than most of these people.
All right.
So let me say this once and once only. At no time, never, ever, 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 not once, have I even suggested the Blue Jays trade Devon Travis. What I have said, people, is that if you look at this team and the tradable assets that they have, and a tradable asset is not just a guy you can get something for, but a guy that you could trade and it wouldn't dramatically negatively impact your team. Devon Travis is a guy you should talk about. That's all I've said.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tradable asset, period, end of story.
That's well said. Yeah.
He's not. I'm not suggesting you trade him. I don't know what you could get for him, but I've said repeatedly, I don't believe you could get anything for Goins. I'm not sure you could get anything tangible for Barney, even though he's having a good season. But I'm pretty sure you could get something tangible for Devon Travis. What? I don't know. But if you look at, I mean, you can make the argument now the Blue Jays could if they wanted to. And again, people, this is just, we're just talking here.
Did somebody yell at you about this?
No, but about three or four real idiots, you know, went on Twitter apparently and said something. Said I'm stop trying to trade Devon Travis. I'm not trying to trade him. I never said that at any time. Never suggested it. Could you trade Jose Bautista now that you have Upton and make the argument that if you got something tangible back, it might be a good trade? And I guess you can now make that argument. Before you got Upton, you didn't have enough outfielders. You didn't have enough major league outfielders. Would I do that? It'd have to be a pretty good return.
First question, yeah. Jose Bautista would be crazy to do that.
I agree. He's a 10-5 guy.
You have to have his permission.
That's
to do
right.
That. Yeah, and why would he leave one of the best offenses in baseball, one of the best places to hit, one of the best leagues to hit in? He's been very successful.
You're
here.
Right about
he's
going to
make more money hitting in this lineup than he would anywhere else. He'd be crazy to do
again,
that.
Again, I'm not suggesting they trade him. I'm saying, you know, with the acquisition of Upton, it raises a Spockian eyebrow for me, and I'm wondering, well, maybe they're thinking about it. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they got him.
And a lot of it is, basically, he's only tradable on half the teams in baseball. He's not going to go to the National League and play the outfield on an everyday basis in the National League. He's not going to do it.
So I think
half
he could
the
do
teams,
it for
who would do that? Because you have to give something up for him.
Well, it's not worth having an argument over.
A lot of stuff for him.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not worth having an argument over.
Yeah.
The only point I'm trying to get at is, if you traded Encarnacion, who's your DH? If you traded Donaldson, who plays third base? You could probably make the argument that if you traded Tulowitzki, you still do have three middle infielders. But I mean, I don't think anybody is a proponent of that, including me.
Not as good
me.
As Tula.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
You could probably trade Martin, but you don't have a catcher. The point is, you have to trade from positions of strength. The organization is almost void of minor league prospects that you would want to trade. They only have two or three, I think, that they really, really like. And you never want to trade those guys. You want to trade the guys that you're just not sure about. You know, they may have some upside, but so you start looking at the 25-man roster and you say, all right, is there anybody here that at least in theory you could move and maybe the club, like say for a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Where you could get by. And at the top of my list is Devon Travis. And the only reason I say that is because Barney has played well and we know Goins is a smooth defensive second baseman. So you got four middle infielders when you really only need three. And so you have an excess there. That doesn't mean I would do it. Doesn't mean I want to do it. Doesn't mean I'm trying to do it. It doesn't even mean I'm suggesting. I'm just saying when the dust settles, If Devin Travis is moved, you would understand why they would even contemplate that.
If Ryan Goins could show you that he could play every day, maybe.
Oh, he can play every day defensively, maybe, but offensively,
Alex Rodriguez, whatever you think of him, has ruined it for guys that just play one side of the ball, meaning you're either a defensive player or you're an offensive player.
I do understand that.
Now you have to do both.
I do understand that.
And Ryan Goins.
But could you put Barney there?
I don't think on an everyday basis. No, Devin Travis.
The guy won a gold glove
as
an everyday player like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know, he's doing well on a team that he's supposed to do well on. You stick a role player on a team. I'm not taking anything away from Darren Barney. He is a very good player. You stick him on a really good team where people forget about him a lot, and he goes up and he gets a good pitch to hit. He hits it. He catches everything right at him. Yeah, he's a very, very good role player. He's a great fit for this team. Is he an everyday player? That's a guy you want playing an established guy somewhere in your lineup, whether he's hitting seventh, eighth, ninth, first. Do you want to pencil him in every day in that spot?
Nah,
I'd rather have Devin Travis. Because
I'd probably rather have Devin Travis too, but I don't think the drop-off between Travis and Barney is as significant as the drop-off would be almost anywhere else.
I will say maybe not this year. Long-term, when you're talking potential, what it's all about.
You know what I care about long-term?
You do.
Nothing.
You should.
No,
because
I care nothing about it.
You can, because there's enough superstars on this team that guys like Devin Travis can get in there, get their feet wet, understand what they're supposed to do, how to do it, when to do it, and catch the ball all the time. And then all of a sudden, the year after that, they're really, really good. And then you can pencil them in key spots. You know, Devin Travis could be your number two hitter. He's that good. He hits behind the runner. You get a guy that can steal some bases, some speed up front.
You're trying to sell me on Devin Travis as if I need to be sold. I don't need to be sold.
Well, I'm giving you an argument on why he's.
All right. If you could get, I'm going to really hypothesize here.
Sure.
You could get a frontline starting pitcher. So you could do whatever you want with Aaron Sanchez. Not that I would do anything. We all know that.
Yeah.
But part of the package is Devin Travis. You're telling me you wouldn't do it? Like he's an untradeable commodity? On my team.
To me, it'd have to be special.
On my team.
Maybe Chris Sale.
There's one untradeable commodity.
Aaron Sanchez.
Two. Maybe three. Just thought. I forgot pitchers.
There could be more. There's multiple
Donaldson.
Ones.
Donaldson is an everyday player, is an untradeable commodity to me.
Osuna.
I'd be really reluctant to trade
Marcus
Osuna.
Stroman. Josh Donaldson right now.
I said Donaldson, didn't I?
I don't know.
What did I say? Didn't I say Donaldson?
I really wasn't listening right there at that point.
Yeah, as usual. No, Donaldson's the one guy. I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, you got some scenario. Sooner or later, you're going to have to back the truck up to one of these guys, right?
Well, you already gave Donaldson a 2-year deal at 17.
I'm talking
or whatever.
About backing the truck up, like saying
the
face of your franchise, the guy we're gonna hang our hat on him every day.
Who's that? It's Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson. Well, how? Who?
Nobody else.
Basically, he'll be knock on wood. He might be a 2-time MVP after this year.
Could
so
be.
You
he's in the discussion.
How do you have to have something to hang your hat on and.
What is this nonsense? Is this more tweets?
He's giving you arguments.
Blue Jays are 27-17 with Devin Travis in the starting lineup, 30-27 otherwise. What's the relevance of that? I mean, I never understood that. Aaron Sanchez is 10-1 when he starts. His record is, 11-1 now? So pitch him every day. Is that the analysis? You got to play Devin Travis every. Devin Travis is the difference between the Blue Jays being 3 games over .500 and 13 games over .500.
Well, he doesn't hurt.
I never said he did.
I think that's what that's saying. Before today's game.
So that's from John Paul Morosi, who's coming on next. Who is clearly proving himself to be an idiot.
Yeah. What's good about this?
Michigan, he's
brain
damaged.
Good about this is we're having a conversation about a really good team because we can. That's, it's going to be a good team for a while. And Devin Travis is a part of it.
Well, so let me ask you, you want to go down that road? That's an interesting road to go down to. You lose Batista. I don't think there's a chance in hell they're going to be even the least bit interested in signing him.
I'm not real sure I'm going to agree with you there.
Well, Okay, but leave that for another time.
Yeah.
In my world, they don't sign Batista. They make an effort to sign Encarnacion, but I'm not sure how he feels about all this.
I think he's outswung his price.
And I don't think they signed Saunders.
I'm going to say this. I'll be quick about that. Now, out of the three, I'm going to say I think it would be Batista.
Because I think out of the three, it'll be Encarnacion. Let's say you lose those three. Let's stay with the topic.
Yep.
Let's say you lose those three, and you can't deny there's a possibility that could happen.
Sure.
Is this team still a contender? Tough, isn't it?
Yeah, just because of the league they play in. Yeah, all the teams that are ahead of them, you know.
That's a lot of firepower.
100%. Yeah, the Red Sox, you know, they're always going to hit. The only team that doesn't is Tampa Bay, and the Yankees are going to get better. Yeah, you got to hit with them. You can't always outpitch them. Tampa Bay's proven that in this division you can't. You can try, but you can't. Sooner or later, you're going to have to win the 12-10 game.
And the reason I bring this up is because of your statement that, you know, they're going to be a contender for a while. They could be. I hope they are.
Teams, how they win games? Pitching and defense. Starting rotations and defense. What did the Blue Jays do a lot of? They play a lot of defense.
I know.
Besides today, and all of a sudden their starting rotation with Aaron Sanchez – he's driving the bus all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, then they're going to shut him down soon.
You got J-Hap, regardless. That just means he's going to be better for a long time.
We'll bring Morosi in on the conversation. Here's John Paul Morosi of MLB Network and Fox Sports and anybody else who pays.
Good afternoon in Toronto. How's everything going?
Have you lost your mind here? I saw this tweet. Blue Jays are 27-17 with Devin Travis in the lineup, 30-27 otherwise. What is the relevance of that statistic?
Bobby gives them, I think, a lot on both sides of the ball. I think he gives them quality at-bats. You saw that last night. I think he's really evolved as a defensive player. And I think that you look at the way the lineup is constructed. There's a lot of bangers in that lineup. A lot of guys hit the ball over the fence in the gaps and are sluggers. Travis is different. And I think the fact that he can hit for power, certainly, but he brings that speed element and he gets on base at a decent clip. I know the numbers don't necessarily jump off the page to the point that he's an all-star, but he's a really good player, and I just think that his at-bats bring a different quality and a different element to that lineup that is noticeably absent when he's not there.
Look, I'll buy all that, but cite the case of the slow second baseman. Name him.
Well,
who's the second baseman who's fudge on the base paths?
You're saying that he lacks in the speed department?
No, I'm saying you mentioned speed and he's not a big stolen base guy, but yeah, he can run a bit. But all second basemen can run a bit. That's why they're second basemen.
Robbie Cano?
I would say that actually
Cano can run a bit. I mean, he's not a stolen base guy, but Cano can run. He's not slow.
More and more teams that are going for second basemen that probably are more on-base percentage / hitter types than
defensive.
The classic Joe Morgan, Lou Whitaker, speed types. So you've got guys like Daniel Murphy, Neil Walker.
Right.
I think those are more – they're not especially athletic. They're certainly good second basemen, very good second baseman. Murphy might be one of the best five hitters in the game right now, pure hitters.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're not that same total package. I just love the way that Travis just brings something else to the team. And you're right. He's got 6 career stolen bases and 8 tries. He should probably be a better baser than he is. I think that will probably come with time.
Could be.
Remember, he didn't have a lot of time, remember, in the upper minors.
And, no,
that's
I know.
That's probably going to be a guy that really that will take probably that really solid spring at some point in time of working on stolen bases. And some guys are fast but don't steal bases. Maybe he's one of those guys, but that's probably that last element of his game that hopefully evolves as time goes on.
JP, he's a perfect number two hitter, right? You get a guy that can run in the leadoff spot.
Placido Polanco, that type of a guy.
Yeah.
That's the name that sort of comes to mind right now.
There you go.
I'm glad something comes to mind for you.
it's pretty thin up there. Although I'll tell you this. Speaking of tweets, I thought you were going to go in this direction, Bob.
Okay.
Our colleague Ben Nicholson-Smith, he tweeted some good perspective today, that the Jays have the best average attendance in the American League. How about that?
Well, that means that Rogers is making crap loads of money and putting it in their jeans. Instead of reinvesting it. They ain't putting it in my pants, and they're not putting it in yours, and for sure they're not putting it in Barker's, so they're putting it in their own jeans.
Well, listen to this. I make the point, Bob, for this reason. Number one, fair enough, there should be some payroll flexibility at the deadline. We've already seen that with the Upton trade. I know it wasn't a huge amount, but they did add some payroll, $5 million over the next couple of years. So that was good. But sort of the larger point that I want to make is that the Jays, there was so much talk last year about, oh my goodness, with Alex's departure and the fact that Price didn't come back, had the Jays sort of spoiled this amazing two-month run they had last year, three-month run, if you want to certainly include October, and did the momentum stall with the organization? Clearly, that did not happen. You do not lead the American League in attendance with New York and Boston. I realize Fenway's a smaller park, but you know, L.A., I mean, different large markets there. You don't lead the American League in attendance by accident. So that's a really good sign, and the fact they're back in the race again this year. I agree there certainly are some questions about how things will go once Bautista and Encarnacion potentially leave this wintertime. But the overarching point, though, is that Toronto is firmly there. This was not just a three-month infatuation with baseball. Toronto was firmly back on the baseball map as a great baseball town with a lot of young fans who are invested in the team. I think it's a very, very good sign for the organization.
Well, I think you're right. It's all lovely. I don't care about it, though. Here's a question that I asked Barker earlier in this program before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons why I think looking to the future is a very dangerous thing. I understand there are people who have to do that, and usually they are hired as managers or general managers or presidents. But for guys like us or for fans in general, it's an exercise in futility. There is a very real chance, no guarantee, but a very real chance, the Blue Jays could be without Saunders, Bautista, and Encarnacion next year. If that were to happen, And I don't think any of us have any idea what Shapiro or Atkins are thinking, what ownership is thinking, what the budget will be. But that's a possibility. If that were to take place, with what is left, and assuming the Blue Jays don't make a big splash with somebody else, which could also happen, are they still a contender?
Yes, I think they will.
Really?
Because I think, Bob, if those players leave, they will be able to bring in replacements. Now, will they be of the same caliber and price tag? Perhaps not. But I think that you look at the team next year, and again, we've talked before, I made the point that they have to decide, I think, between or among maybe only one of the three of Bautista and Encarnacion and Donaldson to sign for the long term. I think if you're going to tell me that Bautista and Edwin both leave, I think the chances of the Jays sitting down with Dan Lozano this wintertime and saying, listen, we've got two franchise quality players, level of excellence guys that are leaving. Josh Donaldson is now our key guy going forward, and we need to sign him long term.
No doubt.
Based on the way things are going. I think there's a very high chance that happens. And that's where I really feel like this is an important wintertime to decide, again, is Donaldson going to stay or is he going to go? And if he's going to go, I've said before, you have to at least entertain that faraway thought of trading him. I don't think that's going to happen because I think that if Bautista and Encarnacion leave, you prioritize signing Donaldson and you get the deal done. I think that's probably the most likely outcome for the wintertime. Tulo, Russell Martin, I think that, you know, Devin Travis, you look around, there are the pieces, I believe.
There's nice pieces, but, yeah. I mean, that's big chunk of offense that you're getting rid of.
Yeah, it is. I think, but again, let's say you let Bautista go and Encarnacion goes, mm-hmm. and you're able to sign back someone who's a free agent or potentially trade for a free agent to be outfielder like potentially Jay Bruce, and we've talked about him obviously before. Bruce comes back potentially into play. You make a play to try to sign Josh Reddick. I mean, you're in now the free agent mode. I think that if the Jays let Bautista and Edwin go and Saunders, they're going to bring back someone that can hit,
whether it's
through trade.
I'll acknowledge that, yeah.
They're going to let them all go, and that's going to be the offseason. And by the way, I do think Saunders, with how much he loves, I think, playing back in his home country, I do think that even if Bautista and Edwin both leave, I think there's a decent chance that Saunders is still in play and a much more attainable free agent for them this winter.
All right, let me ask you two guys this question, then Barker wants to jump in. What are you willing to pay Saunders? Say a 3-year contract. What are you willing to give him? How much a year?
I think I think he would get a 4-year deal. I think he's probably
okay. Four-year deal.
In this marketplace, as a free agent, based on what he's done this year, I realize there's a health concerns from the past. I think he's a 4-year, $50 million player.
Yeah. You think he would make more than Batista?
Boy, Kev, that's a great question. Because here's the thing about we've touched on this before, but it's important, I think, to reinforce it. You look at how infatuated teams are with age nowadays and how that drives decisions. That's why Jason Hayward got so much more money than he deserved and why Dexter Fowler and Ian Desmond got so much less. And so when you look at the overall marketplace now, if you're a veteran player, you might get the per year that you think you deserve, but you're not going to get the number of years that you think you deserve. I think Bautista will enter the marketplace this wintertime and have a lot of teams that are going to give him a 2-year, $35 million offer or something like that. I think that I would be stunned if more than one team is willing to go more than 3 years of Bautista. Maybe he ekes out a 4-year deal with somebody, but I just don't think, guys, the industry is going to give that to him. I think he's a 3-year deal, probably. Somebody will go to 3 years for him. But I think there's a much higher probability, I believe this, that Saunders gets a 4-year deal than the Bautista does.
Yeah, JP,
that's the way teams are valuing players right now.
You don't think teams anymore think we're going to do something because we have to. You know, Edwin hits a lot of 3-run homers. Baltimore hits a lot of 3-run homers, had the worst starting rotation in baseball. Last time I checked, they're in first place in the American League East. The saying is, you know, the 3-run homer takes a lot of pressure off of everything else. Your base running, your defense, your starting rotation, whatever your weakness is, the 3-run homer takes sort of care of that. That's what Baltimore does on a consistent basis. You just seen them sweep the Indians because they hit the home run and the Indians didn't. That's the difference between the American League East and everybody else. You know, the argument sounds good that it's okay, you can't pay a guy because he's worth too much money. Is there just going to be a time with the Blue Jays that you do it because you have to do it?
Perhaps. But I would say this, Kevin. Look around the game right now. Look at the spike that we've seen in home runs this season. You got a guy, Ryan Schimpf, who was let go as a minor league free agent by the Jays last year, has hit 9 home runs this month for the Padres, okay? You're seeing a high number of home runs. Now, people are debating, oh, is it the ball? What's going on? Why are we seeing this spike in power? I don't know the reason. All I'm saying is it's happened, okay? The home run is back with a vengeance right now in the game. And you're right. The teams that are hitting home runs, certainly right now it is very much in vogue, the teams that are having success. But I would say this. The team that has represented the American League in the World Series the last 2 years was noted, especially
not a home run hitting team,
for a complete inability to hit home runs.
Yes, they
and
were.
So clearly, it's that's why baseball right now, Kevin, is so much fun to debate, because you've got like the bullpen school of thought with what the Royals have done. Oh my gosh, what you got to do is you got to build a lockdown bullpen, and then maybe you actually need to build an amazing lineup like Baltimore has. You know, maybe you should try to build both, like what the Cubs are trying to do right now.
Yeah.
But you've got all these different schools of thought going on right now, and that's why the game is so great. There's more than one way to do it. I think the key thing is, though, if the question is, can the Jays contend in 2017 without Edwin and Bautista, I believe the answer is yes, as long as they potentially keep Saunders and then sign Donaldson long-term and make sure they build the lineup around him. And if really one of Tulo or Martin come back to their career norms, then you've got a decent team. You really do. I actually, guys, I'm telling you this. I would be as concerned next year about the way the rotation's going to get filled out and to make sure I realize Dickey's having a down year ERA-wise, but to replace Dickey's innings, how does Sanchez respond to the innings increase, the sustainability of Estrada's success. They've done a very good job of the rotation this year, but I would always sort of question what sort of depth they have now going forward. That, I think, is actually probably their number one concern. And again, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins have to get a lot of credit. They took a ton of criticism from a lot of people, including me, for not pursuing David Price at all last offseason, and it looks like that was the right decision because Estrada and Happ have both been very, very good for this team.
Yeah, the argument is, I think, with Kansas City, they play in the Central, bigger ballparks, easier to outpitch your opponent. American League East, you can't do that. That's my argument. Let me ask you about the other parts of the league. The Texas Rangers, where do you think they're going? Obviously, their starting rotation can't win a game. What are they doing? And my second question before we let you go so you can answer these, and
sure,
you know, real quick, the Nationals, you know, obviously with Pat. Papelbon, he's having a real tough time. Where do you see them going with that closer situation?
Yeah, Kevin, well, first of all, with Texas, I mean, they are looking everywhere for starting pitching, and the two teams that I think have the best chance to be a fit for them would be the White Sox and then the Rays. They both have multiple excellent starting pitchers. We know all about Sale and Quintana with the White Sox. Oddly enough, James Shields has made himself into a trade candidate with how well he's pitched over the last 6 weeks, which is staggering to say, but it's true. And then, of course, the Rays, Archer and Moore, Odorizzi, Smiley, and the Rangers, I believe, have the ability to make a deal with either one of those teams. Vince Velasquez has sort of popped onto the radar, too, with the Phillies, so stay tuned there. The Nationals, they're looking, again, everywhere for a closer. Andrew Miller is a really interesting discussion point there. Also David Robertson with the White Sox, Boone Logan, a lot of names right there. The Nationals realize, guys, they need high leverage relievers. That they let that game get away last night, which was a terrible loss for them in Cleveland, and I think that they know. Even Dusty Baker said publicly that they had been after Chapman. He was disappointed they didn't get him. The manager clearly wants to get a back-end reliever, and that's exactly what Mike Rizzo now has been charged to do.
Morosi, good job. We'll stay in touch with you. The trade deadline is approaching ever quickly. We don't know whether anything's going to happen. Some things are going to happen, or a whole bunch is going to happen, but we'll stay in touch. Thanks, pal.
My pleasure, guys. Always happy to talk to the Jays. I think it's probably not our last time talking about Bautista and Edwin here for the rest of the year.
Maybe so, maybe not. John Paul Morosi of MLB Network and Fox Sports. When we come back, Sid Rosenberg of 77 WABC Radio in New York. Yankees deal Aroldis Chapman and keep winning. Are they dealers? Are they buyers? Is the record of this team what they want it to be? Or would management prefer that they actually lost a few games so it'd be easier to unload some of the guys that we think they want to unload? We'll talk to him about it when Primetime continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Before the hour, Primetime continues coast to coast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. Bob McCowan, Kevin Barker. So the Yankees aren't playing the way management, I think, would like them to play. I mean, management would just suggest, all right, just lose already so that you're far enough out of it. We can make these moves, get rid of these guys we want to get rid of, get something for them, and think about next year.
Yeah, it's hard to tell experience.
Damn Yankees keep winning.
Yeah, it's hard to tell experience not to win, right?
So they move Chapman, Aroldis Chapman, over to the Cubs, and they get a nice little package for that. But it doesn't necessarily suggest that it's sell mode. But we got 4 days left until the trading deadline. What are they going to do? Sid Rosenberg is with 77 WABC Radio in New York and joins us on the phone. Hello, Sid.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Kevin. How's my friends up in Canada doing today?
Kicking ass, taking names, babe. So,
you son of a gun. Hey, not against the Padres earlier today. We're kicking so much ass for you.
Well, no. Well, we no. didn't. Neither one of us played today, though. Gibby decided to give us the day off. So,
okay, I got you. What's going on?
What does the Chapman deal actually mean for the New York Yankees? Was it a precursor to complete sell off, or was it just one of those? We got an offer. It's a good enough offer. We're going to make this move, and then we're going to figure out the rest later.
Bob, that's a great question. I think it's more the latter. Look, the Yankees lost 2 weeks ago, Friday and Saturday, to Boston. And the fans here were going nuts. Like, you got to sell everybody. We got to prepare for 2018. Maybe get Machado. Maybe get Bryce Harper. We got to sell. Then this odd little thing happened. They beat the Red Sox on Sunday. They took 3 out of 4 from Baltimore. They took 2 out of 3 from San Francisco. And now they've taken the first 2 from Houston with a chance to sweep tonight. All of a sudden, they're just 4 back of the Blue Jays inside of the division, 4 back of the Blue Jays for the wild card. And now that has thrown a wrench in the plans. When you say management wants to deal these guys, look, they really don't. Yankees don't mind spending money. It's the fans. The fans were at the point they had had enough. A-Rod looks old and tired,
yep.
A bunch of other guys as well. But the Yankees are winning, and now that does kind of put a wrench in the plans from 7 to 10 days ago.
Yeah, how does Joe Girardi been handling this? Because, you know, Joe Girardi's a pretty good winning manager. He's a pretty good manager. He handles a clubhouse really, really well. You got a veteran team. You know, how do you, when you start selling off pieces and you're the Yankees, you know, everybody else, the fans, yeah, that's good. But when you're 1 through 25 in that locker room and you're expected to win and you're supposed to win, how's Joe Girardi been handling this?
Kev, listen, he's been great. Now, he's only dealt one. Again, they only dealt Chapman. And let me say this about Chapman. Guy throws 105. He's going to be great for the Cubs. It would be ironic, by the way, if the Cubs won the whole thing because they beat the Mets here in New York. They lost to the Mets, I should say, in the NLCS in New York last year. But here's the truth, guys. They've already got two great relievers in Betances and Miller. They had a bevy of riches inside that bullpen. And honestly, guys, he's a guy that was suspended for the first 30 games for domestic abuse. Here in New York, we don't love that type of stuff. I know Jose Reyes has gotten a pretty good applause from Met fans, but he was never going to be beloved here, Chapman. He really wasn't. I don't think he'd be here a very, very long time anyway. So they dealt him. But again, guys, between Miller pitching the ninth, Betances pitching the eighth, maybe Warren or Severino pitching the seventh, they're good to go. So they've only dealt one. And you're right, the veterans do love Joe Girardi. He's done his best to keep guys like Mark Teixeira and A-Rod happy. And he's a terrific manager. And we'll see now what the Yankees do in the next 4 days.
With Sid Rosenberg of WABC New York. So we understand who would be on the list of tradable New York Yankees if, in fact, they go down that route. But let's go completely the other direction. If the Yankees continue to win, if the Yankees feel that they are still in this thing, rather than sitting pat, I think the New York Yankees go out and look to bolster their lineup. What is their primary need? Is it a starting pitcher?
Yeah, I mean, the pitching has been up and down. You know, you nailed that, obviously. I mentioned Severino as a possible seventh-inning guy. He was supposed to be one of the young aces in the rotation. He was awful. CC Sabathia's been up and down. Ivan Nova, he's on the trade block. He's been up and down. Pineda, trade block, up and down. It would help him. But here's the issue with those, with that scenario, guys. Yankees don't have a lot to trade. It's not like the Yankees have superstars out there. I mean,
right.
I mentioned a couple of pitchers they can deal. Maybe a guy like Brett Gardner. The real value left with the Yankees is Andrew Miller. Now, the Yankees tried to trade Andrew Miller to the Cubs in the Schwarber deal. Didn't go through. But certainly a team like Washington can use Andrew Miller, the Nationals. He is the one, I think, a very valuable piece the Yankees can deal. Then you get, like I said, Nova, Pineda, Gardner. But truth is, none of those guys will demand a big name, unless they assume salary, back to New York.
But there are a lot of fans, you would concede, that would equate an ace out of the bullpen with a one or two starting pitcher. I don't think baseball people think that way. I think they're as skeptical of the long-term success of relief pitchers, regardless of their history, as I am. I think we've had five or six great relief pitchers in the history of the game. They are the hardest thing to find, guys that can do it throughout their career. Is Miller that guy?
We don't know. Again, he was never really a closer in Detroit, in Miami, in Boston, in
That's
Baltimore.
Right.
He did the job here last year, guys. He was very, very good. But, you know, you're talking about New York, you know, in the last 30 years. And I'm a Met fan, let me just say that. So for me to talk nicely about the Yankees, it's not that easy. But let's not forget. I mean, well, Sparky Lyle was here. He won an MVP. Goose Gossage was here. Some to this day still say he's the most, maybe not the best, but the most dominant reliever closer of all time. And the best of all time, Mariano Rivera was here. So
yes, sir.
They had the best. Is Andrew Miller going to be a guy that could do it for the next 5 or 6 years? I would say based on his stuff and his age, probably. But then again, like you said, he's not going to demand a top-line starter. No chance.
Okay, let me ask you about the Mets real quick.
Yeah,
you hear Bartolo Colon pitching on 3 days rest. You hear Terry Collins saying if he was 53, he'd still be pitching for us. Where are the Mets at and where they're going? They're only 4.5 out, but where are the Mets?
Isn't that amazing, guys? And it's been such a lackluster, depressing season of the World Series appearance last year. Matt Harvey gone for the year. Wasn't very good, as you guys know anyway. David Wright gone for the year and maybe gone forever. Wasn't very good anyway. They've experienced injuries all over their lineup. Their starting pitching's been banged up. Their bullpen's been banged up. And they haven't been very good on top of that. Somehow or another, yes, they're still in the thick of things here. Difference is, last year at this time, guys, Sandy Alderson went out and got Cespedes. And that was really the piece that put the Mets over the top. He was miserable in the World Series, but he was great at the end of the season.
Right.
The Mets have admitted there is no Cespedes on the market right now. So there's not going to be even a Kelly Johnson, who came in big last year, Juan Uribe. So I don't see the Mets, maybe, guys, a long reliever, a lefty could help them in the seventh inning. what the Mets are not going to do this year what they did last year, which is basically take a really good ball club and make them a championship contender.
We understand the New York Yankees' depth with which to trade is very thin, as is the Blue Jays, interestingly enough. What is the Mets situation? Do they still have a plethora of young starting pitchers in the system?
They don't, because a lot of those guys are up at the big leagues now, right? I mean, Matt Harvey's a big leaguer, although he's out for the year. Jacob DeGrom is a big leaguer.
Right.
Zach Wheeler, the guy they got from the Giants for Carlos Beltran a couple of years ago, who was terrific 2 years ago, he's had a setback, so he's injured right now, so his value is down to practically nothing. The only guys on the Mets that are up now that have kind of realized their potential are Syndergaard, Max. Those are all of the great young pitching inside the Met organization. So it's not like they've got one of these guys or two of these guys down in the minors. They're all up right now, and I don't know in terms of depth how much the Mets have either in terms of making a big-time trade. Although, like I said, they're on record saying don't expect anything big this year.
Do you think Chris Sale gets traded?
Oh, I think so. You know, I think, you know, listen, gun to the head right now, the Yankees talked about him a couple of days, or at least the press here in New York did, but I always look at the Dodgers, guys, right? I mean, the Dodgers have money out in Los Angeles. They need the big line pitcher. They seem to get that guy all the time, even for a couple of years, like Greinke a couple of years ago. So gun to my head right now, not surprised much of the Dodgers, but I do think that Sale will be gone from the White Sox.
Well, the Dodgers become interesting not as much because of the way they've played, but as poorly as San Francisco has played the last while, which has let the Dodgers kind of hang around and give them hope. And in that scenario, I think you're right. Maybe they do make a move.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants built up a really big lead, as you guys know. They came out of the All-Star break. They have been atrocious. Like I said, they did win a game here against the Yankees over the weekend. But not only has the offense gone completely south, but the starting pitching, even Madison Bumgarner has not been very good.
He's had a couple rough ones.
Couple of outings.
Yeah.
Right. So the Giants all of a sudden look like a very beatable baseball team. But hey, Bruce Bochy, every other year, finds a way to win the World Series. This is that year for the Giants.
The even year. Beware
right.
The Giants. Sid, good of you to join us, pal. We appreciate it a lot. All the best. We'll talk again hopefully soon.
But before you guys let me go, because I love you both, Bob and Kevin, you got a great show. We talked a lot of baseball. Before I let you go, if it was up to you guys up in Canada,
yeah,
who would you like to see win this election, which I talk about every day on ABC. I do more politics than sports. Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? Or do you care up there who we elect as a president here in the United States?
Oh, we care. But the correct answer is none of the above.
Gary Johnson?
All right. Claude Themelfachuk, pick any name, anybody but one of those two. This is the greatest political Alphonse and Gaston race in the history of politics. You take it. I don't want it. It is what a choice you guys have to make. I'd stay home and put my head under the covers.
You're exactly right, and that's why I look at it, too. I'm forced to talk about it every day because it's my job. But right now, I can't stand either candidate. And I just imagine that around the world, we become a laughing stock between those two candidates. But, hey, good luck to the Blue Jays, and I love both of you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sid. Sid Rosenberg of 77 WABC in New York. Well, Barker?
He's great. His accent and my accent's pretty good, right? I'm just saying.
Well, they're not even remotely the same.
No.
He's a classic New Yorker,
awesome,
and you're a classic
awesome
redneck.
True.
Rednecks in New York.
Oh.
Thanks to John Paul Morosi of MLB and to Sid Rosenberg for joining us this hour, and to Mr. Barker as well for stopping by. Are you going to be back again this week, or is that it for you?
If you let me.
Oh, I don't have anything to do with it. You
no
know that.
Well, it does.
You got to suck up to him.
Your name is on the show.
Don't mean nothing, baby.
Oh, man. I'll ask.
Some things are done for a good time, and some things are done for a long time. I'm not sure how much long I have left. Shai Davidi, Dwight Stones, remember him? Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, Maury Brown of Forbes magazine, all coming up. Dave Perkins will wander in. Primetime continues.